I'm Kathy Bosch, and this is a session on anger. I want to do as much participation as we can, deal with some things. We may want to reschedule to meet again at another time, talk about it afterwards, but an hour is much, much too short to talk about such a big issue as anger. I do workshops back as part of my work that are six hours in length, and that's even short. Each time I add a little bit more time, the evaluations come back, we need more time. So we'll see what we can do within this confine of time. On the board, I'm going to indicate what's on the board first because I think we'll want to put a little bit more up there in just a minute. But I want to look at anger to help you get in touch with anger and recognize that according to Thomas Harris's I'm Okay, You're Okay, there are three basic ego states in each of our personalities. We each have a parent tape, we each have an adult tape, we each have a child tape. They're not good or bad, they're a part of you. Different parts will take over at different times, sometimes at the appropriate time and sometimes at the inappropriate time. Parent is the controlling, directing, warning, but also the very nurturing, caregiving, support part of you. The adult is what thinks, stores facts, reasons, uses logic. It keeps things going, analyzing experiences and trying to put it in the right perspective. The child in each one of us is the feeling part of us. And included in those feelings are the feelings of anger. It also is the one that demands, whines, imagines, fun-loving experiences, fantasizes. Children, the child part of us can have a great imagination. And we recognize it as children's minds are great storehouses for fantasy, great manufacturing plants for fantasy. And we often lose that as we go through the years, unfortunately. But it is also our feelings. Our feelings or emotions come from the child part of us. Now, as we go through anger, which is a feeling, we'll recognize that that's all kinds of feelings, happy, sad, excited, exuberant, whatever the kind of feeling you have, lonely, frustrated, uncomfortable, uneasy, those are all feelings and those all come from that child part of your personality. I'd like to have us do a little bit of thinking, getting in touch with our own feelings, getting in touch with that child part of us by getting in touch with some thoughts of yours to complete several sentences, so that we can begin to deal with them a little bit more as we go further. The first sentence, I'd like to have you just think to yourself one or two ways that you might complete it, and I'll go on to several others. I get angry when? Get in touch with when do you get angry? I get angry when? Go on and then think about, and my behavior is. What is your behavior? How do you act out? Act on that anger. Think about it. Each one of you will have different experiences. The first question to ask yourself is, to answer for yourself is, I get angry when? And my behavior is. And afterwards I feel. What I really want is. Each gotten in touch with something about that? Then the last one. When I become angry, my demands are. What do I demand? Okay. I'm not sure that there is anyone that can really say, I've never been angry. I certainly can't. That's probably why I do courses on anger, to get in touch with my own feelings of anger and to remind myself of some of the things I try to remind other people about in dealing with anger. At first, my husband used to identify my anger as that mid-European, that old country genes within me that says I'm a fiery something or other. Because my experiences in my own home were where anger was shown, not always very positively, most often very negatively, but it was shown, it was open. Whereas my husband grew up in a home where everything positive was said, but not very many negative things were said. You sort of stuffed them. And you stuffed them well enough so that they didn't come up for a long time, if ever. One of the books that I think is very helpful in looking at the whole issue on anger is Caring Enough to Confront by David Augsburger. And it's in the bookstore. You'll find it handy, too. In the beginning of his chapter on owning anger, he has a little beginning preface page, and it says, I'm not angry. I'm just concerned. I don't get angry. I just feel hurt. See, you made me angry. It's all your fault. See, you burned me up. It's you in the wrong. Can we get in touch with that? I can at times. No, I'm not angry. I'm just furious. Well, maybe in a sense, what we need to recognize, and that may be the beginning part of it, well, remove the two parts of your ego now, and recognize that there are several ways of looking at anger. One of the ways of looking at anger is recognizing that anger is always a secondary response to a more primary feeling. And those of you who have been in some other classes of mine will recognize I try to draw what I think is an iceberg. You can draw any kind of diagram you want. And that only about 1/9, 1/10 of that iceberg shows. I think I'm a little bit out of proportion there, but anyway. And at the top, we may have the feeling of anger. If we allow ourselves to feel that anger, if we can get in touch with the fact, I am angry, but why am I angry? It needs to be that going down to the next bottom line. And we can come up with a whole variety of feelings on anger. And we could probably even put, let's put the ocean bottom on there. And we can put here from cool to boiling hot, since we're dealing with water here. And begin to identify some of those feelings that come under anger on this continuum of the degrees, the intensity of that anger. Irritated might be over at this end. Can anyone get in touch with some other feelings that are sort of low level of anger?
Peeved,
okay.
Frustrated.
Okay.
Annoyed.
Frustrated. Any other sort of mild, lower ones? Upset. Yeah, upset is a kind of nondescript. You know, what does upset mean? We use it a lot, but what does it mean? It almost needs to be described. What am I upset about? You have to go down to another level of that. So I won't put upset on here. We need to revise our vocabulary to select something that's a little bit more descriptive. Of that upset. Okay, we go more toward the medium You know, how many of you, is it tacos, or I know it, we get buffalo-style chicken wings, and they'll say mild, medium, hot, or suicide. The degrees along that continuum. What would be some of the medium or average types of feelings that you might put underneath this label of anger?
Hurt.
Hurt, okay. Anyone else? Embarrassed, maybe? Anyone ever think in terms of being embarrassed when you feel anger?
Aren't those the causes of anger rather than kinds of anger?
Not causes, they're the primary feeling that we generally label as anger instead of getting down to this. So I want to provide us with a little bit more vocabulary to help us recognize why we may be angry. Ashamed.
Fearful,
okay.
Irritated.
Envious.
Irritated.
I've got that down here as a little mild, but that, and we can have degrees of irritation too.
Depressed.
Okay. Depression is, in counseling circles, is often labeled as a mask of anger. That we can be very depressed and we just don't know, and we may be stuffing a lot of anger and don't recognize the anger that we do have that really is the basis for and our depression is a mask of anger. Oh, anxiety?
Jealous?
Okay, let's go up the line toward that suicide. Very hot, boiling.
Wrath.
Hate.
Rage.
Rage.
Fury.
Hostile. Pardon?
Hateful.
I got hate down.
Petrified.
What else?
Outraged.
We can be very irrational. And that may be as a result, in a sense, I think we need to recognize that that's connected with anger. Our anger we may decide to act out our anger in irrational ways.
Homicide?
We may want to commit homicide.
Seething.
Any others?
We'd like to add one to the first list.
Okay.
To aggravate it.
Okay. Aggravated, we can have this little irritation, aggravation, we just don't quite know what to do with it. Well, to recognize that that as we look at anger, that we've got a lot of feelings down there, a lot of emotions, but to recognize all these emotions that we've written down there, although we may be very uncomfortable with them, and may not like to experience them, they're all okay. Feelings are not right or wrong. If we had another board and we put up joyous, happy, excited, adventurous, joyful, all these, it wouldn't be one board of good feelings and one board of bad feelings. Feelings are all okay. They're part of you. You can't deny, you deny feelings and you deny yourself. What we need to remember, however, is that we can choose how we act on those feelings. We have a choice. We're not boxed in. We don't have a long, narrow tunnel that once we feel jealous, we have to go out as a green-eyed monster scratching and clawing at the other person. That's not the only option open to us. And what we need to remember is that feelings are not judgeable. Actions, behavior are. And that we have a choice on what we do with those actions. Some people, Albert Ellis, for instance, is one of them, who would say, go as far as saying, we even have a choice over our feelings. I won't get further into that. That would take the rest of the hour. But we do have a choice over how we act. Sometimes it's very difficult because we go into that parent tape or it's the adult tape that helps us to look at how we might want to act on those emotions. But sometimes we go into the parent tape or the child tape instead and find it very difficult to be more rational in our behavior. We can also look at another way of looking at anger is that anger is a defense mechanism, that it's something that protects you. And it's very helpful if we look on it as building on what I just said, looking at the primary emotion underneath that anger and deciding how can I act on that emotion that would help me to protect myself and the other person. So that anger does not get acted out in either to damage my own self-esteem, the other person's self-esteem, or property. How, as a bottom line of what, where we want to come out with our anger. How do we, what is our bottom goal in dealing with that anger? Is our bottom goal really revenge? To get back at who we think made me angry? Is our bottom line to try to resolve the issue at hand, to clarify it, to feel better about myself, to understand the other person that's involved in this whole issue so that we can protect each other. We might also look at anger as a form of an adult temper tantrum. I was dealing with a group of young mothers in a YMCA program this past spring. And some of them I'd had in programs from the fall on. We were doing 7-week series on parenting in a variety of different topics. And we were dealing with anger at one of the last series. And she was talking about her 3-year-old who had just turned 4 and how he'd begun to show his temper recently. Just yelling at her, slamming things, kicking his foot through the screen door, throwing stuff, breaking stuff that she had not seen him do prior to 2 weeks before that. And we were talking more about anger, and all of a sudden she said, a light bulb has just gone on in my head. I realized that prior to his beginning to show all these angry behaviors, I blew up. And I blew up in a way I have never blown up before. I don't even remember what the issue was. But she said I had, I guess I have to label it, an adult temper tantrum. And I ranted and raved and I threw soft things, but you know, he doesn't know the difference between soft and hard things. I didn't kick my foot through the screen door, but I could just as well have. I was really out of control. And I just modeled for him a marvelous way of dealing with his feelings. And he's been an excellent student. Now what do I do to turn it around? Where do I go now? Well, how do we look at temper tantrums in adults as well as temper tantrums in children? Temper tantrums in teens or school age kids. We may not all lie down on the floor, kick our feet, scream, yell, flail our arms and such, but we do in a different, we've come up to more mature ways of expressing our tempers. We may pout, we may sulk, we may pound things around, we may hurl words, we may even hurl other things. But that's basically an adult temper tantrum. Anger may be considered a demand. I want you to do things my way, because my way is the right way, and maybe the only way. That it's a demand that you must meet my expectations. Even though I haven't clarified them for you, even though you may not know what I expect of you, you ought to meet them. Albert Ellis, in a number of his writings, talks about shoulds and oughts. And he goes as far as saying, using his words, shoulds, shoulhood. The shoulds that we tell ourselves make us act shitty. His words. He also talks about turd-like behavior, and I'm not quite sure what the difference is. But the shoulds and oughts that we tell ourselves really tie us up. They prevent us from really dealing with the feelings in ways that might be more productive, more rational, more helpful. And we build boxes or fences or walls around ourselves. In a workshop with Dr. Ellis one time, some of the students caught him in saying a couple of shoulds himself. And he said, well, that just goes to show you I'm not perfect either. And they said, well, what would be a better way? And he would say, it would be nice if, I would like, I want to. In a sense, there's a choice. Shoulds and oughts don't leave us much choice. And in most things, except in situations of life and safety, there are choices. Some concerns that may be life-threatening. You may not have a choice. Anger may also be a signal that injustice is occurring. Anger over the whole, what's going on in the Mideast, anger over what's going on in Central America, anger at what's going on in what's supposed to be a democracy and is acting like anything but a democracy with the whole Contragator-Rangate affair that's going on. An injustice occurring, and your response to it may be anger, but it may be, you know, I'm frustrated, or I'm anxious, or I'm embarrassed that this is our democratic country acting in such a way. I'm petrified that our president's finger is going to go on that red button that sends some missiles off to someone or other. You know, those might be the feelings that come underneath and can be very appropriate feelings. Anger may be a very appropriate feeling. And what we really want to tune into is how do we act on that anger? What are ways to deal with those issues? Another thing that about anger is that, according to Albert Ellis in his New Guide to Rational Living, he talks about anger is a consequence of an irrational thought or belief. That we just have some crazy, nutty ideas. And he talks about, in his, he has what he would call his ABCs of nutty ideas. That A is always the action that occurs. What happens, that experience. B is your belief about it. And this is what he calls the nutty idea. And C are the emotional consequences. And he suggests that there is a D that we need to go into an E as well. And we have to start with, we have to start with B. Because we can't change what's just happened. That action has occurred. Some words have been said. Somebody did something that shouldn't have been done or didn't do something that should have been done. And we have some feelings about it. I'm disappointed, I'm discouraged, I'm dismayed, disheartened, I'm frustrated about it. And we might use an illustration of many adolescents here. My boyfriend or girlfriend has just left me. Said, sorry, let's cut it off. Don't want to go out with you any longer. That would be the action, what's happened. My emotional consequences that I'm distressed, destroyed, feeling lonely, feeling hurt. And my belief about this emotional consequence is that nobody's ever going to want to go out with me again. I'm just no good. Nobody's going to be interested. I just don't have. Just don't have what it takes to be a friend or to interest other people. And Albert Ellis says, we have to go back to that belief, the belief I have about myself. I'm not worthwhile since my boyfriend left me. Nobody else is going to ever be interested. The feelings of being hurt, lonely, depressed may be very real, but they may not necessarily lead to this. We may want to have it lead down to here and say, okay, what are some, we want to dispute that nutty idea. So we want to dispute B. Just because I feel sad, lonely, hurt, doesn't mean I'm there for no good. And we can say, well, yes, I do feel sad, lonely, hurt, but I'm still okay. I'm a capable person, I'm a lovable person, I'm a child of God. I'll make some other friends. I don't need a boyfriend or a girlfriend to be a whole person. It adds joy to life, it adds some extra excitement, but I'm okay as a human being. I'm still a whole person. And then E, come up with a new emotional, a new belief. That may in turn have some effect on that, the emotional feeling that you have. Yeah, I'm sad, but not quite as sad because I'm still okay. There are other people that I can relate to. It's disappointing, yes, but I'll survive. I can manage. Rather than wanting to go out and kill the guy or the girl. Okay, so that's another way of Albert Ellis looking at the whole issue of anger and his ABCs of nutty ideas.
Kathy, not just going out and killing the other person, by a girl, or to kill yourself.
Or to kill yourself. Or go out and spread all sorts of malicious rumors about the other person, tear the other person down, and in a sense really tear yourself down, and in destroying yourself and your whole, your feelings about yourself.
Are there ever times when your anger is because you have a very appropriate idea, the action, whatever it was truly outrageous, horrendous? I mean, it seems to me there would be times when to do anything, to respond in any way but anger would be the not same way, not same response.
Yeah. And we always have a choice as to how we can act out that anger. And some can be very destructive ways, and some can be very helpful.
This makes it sound like anger is never really valid if you were thinking straight.
Well, it depends. Yeah, and that may not cover the waterfront. These are certain ways. Because there's one more that I'd like to throw out that may not be all the way anger is thought of all the time too. This may be appropriate on occasions, but just as anger is a signal that injustice is occurring. You know, may not fit into this too. There may be rational reasons for it. I mean, there is injustice occurring. And it may not be a nutty idea. It's real. There are injustices in this world. And I'm furious that our government is perpetrating some of them and not instead of helping. So this is just another way of looking at it. It doesn't cover the whole waterfront, it covers some portion. And the last one is that anger may be a manipulative ploy. How many people do you know who really use anger to get their way. Very much, you know, that they're going to, it's a way to con others to do what they want or to feel the way that they want them to feel in order to get what they want, to intimidate or to threaten. You get a bigger person who can really get angry and threaten a smaller person. Or it doesn't even have to be a difference in size, but often what happens is that you do get frightened over somebody who's, you know, you always pass someone and you may say, well, I certainly wouldn't want to get that person angry at me because you know that that power would be so strong. Or I don't want to meet that person on a dark street, on a dark night, because you just fear for your own safety. So we have all these different ways of looking at different styles of anger, different ways of looking at anger. And I'd like to spend the remaining half an hour trying to look at what are ways that we can most positively respond to that anger that we do get in touch with. When we recognize what that feeling is underneath the anger, why am I really angry? I want to read just a little section in here from Augsburger, where most often we try to escape responsibility for that anger by saying, I just can't help it, it makes me angry. It just gets to me and touches off my temper. Or, it's like something that comes over me and I can't do a thing about it. Or, it's other people, that's what it is. They know I've got a quick temper and they're out to get me. I'm the victim, they're the attackers. In a sense, it is the problem. It causes untold irritation, anger, frustration, embarrassment, pain, guilt, and misery. It is not me. It is the something or someone or some situation. It's just out there. I'm just the victim. When you find yourself using it as an explanation or as a scapegoat, stop! Exclamation point. Listen to yourself. Recognize what you're doing. In a sense, it's avoiding responsibility, sidestepping the real problem, denying ownership of your feelings, responses, and actions. Release from these strong feelings comes not from denying, but from owning the who, the what, and where I am in my relationships. I want to own what goes on in me and accept total responsibility for it. I discover that as I own it, accepting full responsibility, I am then able to respond in new ways. I become respondsible. A great freedom comes as I own my thoughts, feelings, words, and emotions. First, I become free to choose my actions. Second, I become free to choose my reactions. My actions are mine, your actions are yours. I'm responsible for my behavior, you are responsible for yours. I can only accept responsibility for my actions. I used to say, you make me angry. Untrue, no one can make another person angry. How many people believe that? Who comes inside you and pulls certain strings or pushes certain buttons to make you feel something? I remember a quote attributed to Eleanor Roosevelt many years ago that said, no one can make you feel inferior without your permission. And you can fill in the blank underneath that. No one can make you feel blank, whatever that feeling, jealous, envious, hurt, lonely, without your permission. That means taking that responsibility back from out there. And sometimes it's just so much easier to let it stay out there, isn't it? And not to have to do something about it. It's much easier to feel like the victim rather than a co-conspirator, perhaps. No one can make another angry. If I become angry at you, I am responsible for that reaction. I'm not saying that anger is wrong. It may well be the most appropriate and loving response that I am aware of at that moment. I may also want to get in touch with the feeling underneath it. But you do not make me angry. I make me angry at you. It is not the only behavior open to me. Notice that. It is not the only behavior open to me. There is no situation in which anger is the only possible response. If I become angry, and I may, it's acceptable, it's because I choose to respond with anger. I might have chosen kindness, irritation, humor, or many other alternatives if I'm aware that there are these choices. There is no situation which commands us absolutely. For example, I have the choice to respond to another's threat with blind obedience, with silent passivity, with vocal refusal, with firm resistance, or with anger, maybe physical reaction if that seems appropriate. When childhood experiences are limited, a person may mature with a limited set of behaviors open to him or her. Some have only two ways of coping with another's attack, either anger or submission. If these are the only ways modeled by the parents or the family, they may be the only aware choices in the person's behavioral repertoire. Tonight's session here blows all that. You've got some other alternatives now. If I've grown enough in life so that more than one pattern of behavior is available to me, then I can freely select the responses which seem most appropriate to the situation. I want to be aware of a wealth of responses and to have them available to me. Anger or patience, toughness or gentleness, clear confrontation or warm, caring support. I want to be able to respond in any of these. I am responsible for choosing my responses to you. I am responsible for the way I react to you. I am responsible for how I see you. And from the way I see you as either friendly or hostile, accepting or rejecting, welcoming or threatening, emerge my feelings. Feelings are the energies that power the way I choose to see you or to perceive you. I am responsible for how I see you, and from that, for the way I feel about you. You cannot make me angry unless I choose to be angry. You cannot make me discouraged or disgusted or depressed. These are choices. You cannot make me hate. I must choose to hate. You cannot make me jealous. I must choose envy. I experience all of these and more on all too many occasions, but I am responsible for these actions and reactions. I make the choice. And I'm free to choose loving responses. I'm free to choose trusting replies. I'm free to react in concerned, understanding ways if I choose to see the other person as precious, as valuable, as worthy of love, because he or she is equally loved of God. That's taking back a lot of responsibility. And sometimes that's a pretty heavy load. I'd like to just break up for a minute and have a stand and follow me in an action. It's a crazy little song that's part of a program that's called Parenting for Peace and Justice, but it deals with the whole issue of anger. And how many of you know the song, If You're Happy and You Know It, Clap Your Hands? Well, it's to the tune of that, but it's some other words. So I want you to stand, and I want you to be, it'll help you move around. I want you to be relaxed, let yourself go a little bit, and try to do what I'm going to do. Okay. It goes, if you're angry and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're angry and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're angry and you know it, it's okay for you to show it. If you're angry and you know it, stomp your feet. Then I want to do a couple of other things with it. But let's try this. If you're angry and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're angry and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're angry and you know it, it's okay for you to show it. If you're angry and you know it, stomp your feet. Okay, that's one way. Maybe if you have weak floors, you might want to choose another. And it's okay for you to show it. But our choices of how we show it are what are part of our responsibility. Now, what are some other choices of how we can show it? This is something that you can teach your kids. Teach kids that you teach. Do yourself, remember yourself when you begin to feel angry. What are some of your choices?
Breathe deeply.
Okay, if you're angry and you know it, breathe deeply. If you're angry and you know it, breathe deeply. If you're angry and you know it, it's okay for you to show it. If you're angry and you know it, breathe deeply. What else does that do for you?
Relaxes,
gives you another moment or two to think about the whole thing as you're breathing, cooling off a little bit. Okay, what's another possibility?
Take a walk.
Take a walk, okay? If you're angry and you know it,
take a walk. If you're angry and you know it, take a walk. If you're angry and you know it,
it's okay for you to show it.
If you're angry and you know it, take a walk.
And what do you do on the walk?
Pray.
Pray?
Sing.
Sing?
Forget.
Try to forget, well,
think about it.
Think about it, I would hope. Sometimes just trying to forget it stuffs it, and it becomes those straws that collect in the camel's back and that end up one minor thing and everything explodes.
Stew.
Stew about it. Okay, we might want to do some. Now, what's my responsibility in this and what's really happening? Why am I perceiving it? Why am I taking it the way I am? How am I understanding it? Why have I taken it as a put down? What's happening with the other person? And maybe it's a lot, the other person's really blown up at you and it doesn't belong to you, but you began to be angry in response to it because you feel that you've been attacked. You want to protect yourself. And maybe you just need to understand that that was a verbal explosion for the other person, but it doesn't really belong to you. And you can hand it back kindly saying, well, I guess you really are upset. Don't say it too softly because that's a little mimicking then. Okay, so you might want to use that time to process what's happened. Not necessarily to justify yourself, but almost to step outside and say it from another viewpoint. Now, why have I become so angry about this? What am I protecting? What am I demanding? What are my expectations? Am I trying to manipulate, or is the other person trying to manipulate me with their anger? What's my nutty idea? So a walk, you got a lot of things to think about during that walk. What else can you do?
Scream.
Okay.
Not at somebody, just scream.
So I have this visual picture in my mind. You're all upset and you feel you got to scream, so you quickly run down the face and close the door, go into a corner and scream into a pillow. It might be very helpful if that's
take a bath.
Take a bath.
Wash clothes.
Okay, I think that's a good idea.
Use cold water.
That would be, yes, that could be one way of doing it to really cool you off quickly and then warm it up a little bit and relax yourself a little bit more and become a little bit more comfortable and accept yourself as okay. You may have said some words that would have been better unsaid. I'm going to catch myself, keep from saying shoulds. That would have been better unsaid, but you always have another choice, another chance, don't you, to go back and say, I really blew that. I was so furious that I was letting out my wrath and anger and explosive feelings on you, and I needed to deal with them with someone else. And in a sense, apologize. And that's always helpful. Forgiveness is important for both yourself and for the other person. What else can you do?
Chop wood.
Chop wood. If you've got wood around. You know, and in the early days, there were so many more things that people could do to, you beat the rugs.
Kick a ball.
You scrape the
floor.
Clean the oven, wax the floors. And even now, you have no wax floors. You have self-cleaning ovens. You don't have... Pardon?
Ride a bike.
Ride a bike.
That's a good one.
Okay, riding a bike may be very, okay, one of the things that might not be a good idea to do is to go out for a ride in your car. I know of one good friend, seminary professor, who was furious at some particular issue, took his car out, just wasn't aware, didn't stop at a stop sign, got broadsided by a truck, survived, fortunately. The car didn't, he did. And he said, I shouldn't have done that. It was not helpful for me to do that. I was not thinking. I was not aware.
Accident had you wasn't careful.
Yeah, actually nobody else was around. Okay, what else?
Actually, you haven't mentioned humor.
Humor, use humor. If you can give in.
A family joke, we have a brother-in-law that we all say has a short fuse.
And when something happens, it's time to go check the fuse, you know. You just, you know, and you have some insight, you know, like that, you can, you know, sort of work on it. But.
Okay, so there might be a kind of family signal joke or whatever. And in our household, it's remember you gave up ironing. I mean, in our early years of marriage, Paul's ministry had a lot more evening meetings than it does now. Now I'm busy in the evening. But I have the girls in bed, and I probably pull out this big basket, this is before wash and wear days, of clothes and all his shirts that needed to be ironed. And all the kids' things, they still wore dresses to school at that time, can you imagine? And I'd sit down and I might watch television, and I didn't mind ironing, I could do it quickly enough, but I would use that time to think of all the things that should have been done, my shoulds, and that weren't, or that shouldn't have been done and that were, and everything that fell in between. And by the time he'd come home, it would just all explode. And after a while, he would say, "You've been ironing. There's nothing to do with ironing," and that would just add more fuel to my fire. And he said that, I didn't iron that often, and it didn't happen that much, but almost every time that there was an explosion in our household, it was after I ironed. And finally, I began to hear what he was saying and connect that it was this gunny sacking time that I was doing. And I didn't deal with the issues piece by piece as they came along, which I've learned to do since. But I would just collect it, and it would explode. So I used to tell my students, "I've given up ironing," and they say, "You can't." And I said, "But I have, and it's been a much happier household. It saved our marriage." "But you can't give up." I said, "You can do anything, depending upon what's more important to you." And my family was more important to me than well-ironed clothes. I still iron, but one piece at a time, which is not very economical, but it's much happier for household health. So you begin to get in touch with what are those times and what causes, what helps to produce that anger. And of course, it was all within me. It had stayed there, and it just collected, and it gave it time to ferment more and then explode. So our roof has stayed on much tighter since I gave up ironing. You might figure out what it is that really pushes the button, where you help to push the button, really, for that anger for you. And then to figure out what are some of the ways to deal with it. It might be taking that walk, counting, you know, the old theory was to count to 10. Well, it has some merit to it. It allows you to think a little bit more, to take a deep breath. Singing, music comes out of what is the right side of the brain that's more calming and cooling, and so that singing has some merits to it also. Writing a note, perhaps, as you think about it and say, to be able to say first what my mother taught me and what I've had to relearn, something else, her way of dealing with anger was to just leave. It was to take flight, to walk out. And that was another way. If I didn't explode, you know, collected, and then I exploded, I would just walk away, which infuriates anyone else. Yes. I'm not worth working through this. And I've had to reprogram my own feelings on that to say, this is too much for me to handle right now. I need X amount of time. And then can we get back and talk about it? I need to think about it, collect my ideas, figure out where I'm coming from, what I'm feeling, and then let's come back and do some problem solving. If you want the relationship to continue, that would be a helpful way. Or you might just say, the words that I would use right now would be too devastating, I'm going to have to write it. I'd like to receive something from you, whether it's from the child, or from your partner, or from another friend, another adult, to write out the feelings. And you may not give it to the other person right away. You may want to read it the next day, and you may end up tearing it up because you've taken another look at it, decided, hey, it's really not so bad after all. Get another viewpoint, you're feeling a little bit differently about yourself, and you may write a different note. Don't, one good bottom rule to learn from that is don't give or send the note immediately after writing. Keep it at least half a day before you send it off. Sometimes our anger can be diffused a bit by learning to say no. Sometimes we get very angry with ourselves for being talked into doing something that we really didn't want to do, and you feel boxed in, or that I just couldn't say no. I've got to maintain a relationship. People expect me to do this. It's my duty. They won't like me if I don't. What are some of the other reasons in there? We may have to learn how to say no. I choose not to. And often it's not a case of I can't say no. It's often more of a case of I won't say no. I will not say no. I choose not to say no. Okay, these are some very basic. Some of the styles of dealing with anger might be very passive, where you just run away. You sulk, you pout. We might look at it aggressively, and you can identify whether you're being very aggressive with your anger. Can you use a lot of you statements? You made me, you shouldn't, you're doing this to me, you're making me. And whenever we catch ourselves saying you make me or it makes me, to remember that no one can make you do anything, feel anything without your permission. And you have to turn it around and own it. I feel. I choose to feel. I am feeling. I felt. When such and such happened, I felt. So another important way of dealing to move away from aggressiveness is to move into assertiveness and to say what you feel. And it may be a feeling. I am feeling furious. I am feeling the rage within me because I see and I expect. Well, then you may need to get in touch with, are my expectations realistic? But to be able to describe the situation that you're seeing and your feelings about it is a much more productive way of dealing with those strong feelings leading to anger. Any of you have experience in trying that and how it's worked? Yes.
I've had that, and I find that you build up a great deal of resentment toward a person because of what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
But by choosing not to be resentful anymore or not to be angry, it frees you. Because as long as you resent that person's anger, and also as long as you are angry at that person, you are a slave to that person.
That's important to recognize. What it does to the relationship. It puts you in that slave position, because whatever you perceive that behavior doing to you enslaves you to it. And if we can turn it around instead and look at what am I choosing to do about it? Because we do have choices.
And then it frees you.
It can free you to find a more positive, a more healthy way of dealing with it. So an assertive way it would be to state your feelings, your needs, what you see as happening. Describe the behavior that you are receiving, that you are seeing, and how it affects you. So what we really need to do is begin to check our language for how often we say, you make me, you should, you shouldn't, and instead say, I would like, I feel it's important to, I expect, I value, I am seeing. Anyone who's read any of the materials by Thomas Gordon in Parent Effectiveness Training, PET, will recognize that in his I messages of describing the situation, describing your feelings, and then, if you can, find that third part of what its effect is on you. So the other person knows what's happening. You may go into problem solving then, to define your needs. Define the problem as you see it, and your needs. And what are some alternatives? There are always alternatives. from the ridiculous to the sublime, brainstorm. Then evaluate which ones can you accept, which ones can you not accept. There should be some, hopefully there are some left over that you might choose from. Decide how you're going to put them into action and then act on them as a way of dealing with resolving that problem rather than just letting it fester and irritate and build even bigger. Those are some bottom lines and a quick approach and awareness to anger. What kind of response do you have to this? What are some of the, how do you feel about anger and some of the messages that you got in touch with at the very beginning? When I'm angry, I. Can you figure out some ways that you might revise those messages to yourself?
No, I think I was just thinking of an experience just recently. I got a little bit of fun. It was an interaction with my daughter where my wife and I were incredibly involved in a week of doing all kinds of things. We were just tremendously busy, didn't have time to prepare for this trip very well. And she was at home. And I showed anger while I was washing dishes. I didn't explain myself. Mm-hmm. Showed it by not letting her in the kitchen. But then, that gave me time to think about it. And after I spent maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes so that I was capable of explaining to her how I felt, I went and talked to her and told her that she was at home. She had no responsibility right now. She was free. Her time was free. Ours was not. And I felt that I was hoping that she would see that we didn't have the time to do what we needed to do, and that she would be responsible and do something.
And that maybe you could then do some problem solving. What of these many burdens that you were carrying that she could give some assistance with?
Right.
So if we can begin to think about how am I owning my feelings, what are the basic feelings underneath that anger, and get in touch with that primary feeling. Why am I using this anger? Is it for a benefit of manipulating people? Is it to show that there's an injustice? Am I looking at another idea that I might need to dispute and revise? And how can I positively try some other options for dealing with it rather than exploding or using physical violence, which only teaches others that physical violence is an acceptable way to solve problems, and it seldom is. Don't forget what time it is.